Blog Talk Radio.
You know what I like?
What do you like?
When our switchboard decides to freeze, right as I'm about to play our opening music. That is the hotness.
That is always the hotness, yes.
Anybody else figure that one out, why that happens? Well, I think it has to do with Firefox, personally.
I blame Jay.
So now I got to open up another window so that you all can hear what I always call this song the official game song. You saw it that way, but I thought it was, and I think it's fitting for today what we're about to announce.
Yay!
I'm out of time and all I got is 4 minutes. 4 minutes. I'm out of time and all I got is 4 minutes. 4 minutes. I'm out of time and all I got is 4 minutes. 4 minutes. I'm out of time and all I got is 4 minutes. 4 minutes.
I do. And I remember when it came out, me thinking, oh my God, this is like gross.
Forget the Madonna and Timberlake. I'm looking at the song.
I mean, seriously, she's like old enough to be his grandmother.
They weren't kissing or anything. I didn't think it's disgusting or anything. It is Madonna.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
like it was Betty White. That's different.
Pretty darn close.
No, it's not. I love me some Betty White, but not even on her best day, no. But the song always reminded me of a gamer song because don't
yes,
you all feel like
yes,
that when you're playing your games? You got four
oh
minutes
God, four
to save
minutes,
the world. Got 4 minutes to save the world. I love that song.
Yes.
Anyway, so y'all have been waiting patiently. Now,
the song always reminded me of the safety dance in a WoW. And if anybody who's played WoW has done that dungeon, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm colorblind, so it doesn't help.
You're colorblind?
I'm slightly colorblind.
Explains a lot.
Not admit it like that. That explains.
I'm colorblind too. I'm colorblind to certain colors. I can't distinguish between purples and certain purples and shades of blues. All of them look the same to me.
In reds, I have issues with.
Some reds, if they're in the purple range, I can't see. So everybody's like, you all are stalling. We are.
We are. We've got such awesome news today, but I just want to tease you. All right, so what are we doing first? Are we doing news or are we doing...
The tweets have come in. Jay Duke said, Betty White, he'd holler.
Betty would.
Betty is cool. She's rather cool. I was watching her on The Voice last night. That was funny. She told, what's his name? Zac Efron. He said, shut up, kid. This is my date or something like that. She said to him, I was like, that's about right. And I know he's afraid to talk to her. Okay. So, yeah, if we do news, we have to share.
Okay.
I get to share first. So, those of you who've been wondering, what is the big deal? What are these guys hiding? Well, with all the Kickstarter projects, we decided to start one of our own. Yay! And
I'm so excited. Sorry.
Now,
this is awesome.
Ginger has written something up lovely for us and put up what's called a preview link that we're sharing only with our listeners now. So you guys can go through and look, see if you're inspired. We have a couple days before we're actually able to go live because we have some things they have to verify. But they gave us the go-ahead probably like 2 weeks ago, and we have been on cloud nine ever since. I know you're like, you don't even have any money yet. But we're still excited that they thought it was a good enough idea. You know, you can't just put up a project on Kickstarter. You have to actually go through some channels.
Yeah.
So they coached us through. We got up something we're excited about. What's it about? Well, we're calling it the Independent Gamers Network Project at this time. What it will be, we hope, if we can get the funding that we need, is, for starters, a 24-hour, 24/7 podcast. Not just us, but any gamers out there. Some of you you others who have podcasts and websites, we're inviting you to jump in here. But we're going to foot the cost of buying a station from where we're currently home, place we currently call home here at Blog Talk Radio, and stick you guys in a time slot, let you go for what you know, and hopefully it'll give us a voice. This idea was born out of, ironically, Ginger's mouth. She didn't realize what she said, but something she said, you know, turned on the light in my head. And another story that we did last year where there's some guy in England who was saying he was going to do something like this. He wanted to put together a network because we have no major networks. And when Ginger said something similar the other day, I went, oh, you know what? We keep bitching at people. You know, somebody needs to step up. We need to step up. Why do we do it? We already have a small audience, of zombie followers that we love. We feed you, kind of like on Walking Dead. We feed you. Make sure you keep walking.
Thank you.
So we figured, what better people to do this? What better place to be than start with a podcast? We are unique in that we are one of the very few, if not only, live podcasts that allows you to interact with us via Twitter. We have a chat room. We have a call-in number. Some of you have a lot to say, just like we do. You want to be able to call in, and maybe you feel like yelling at Gabe Newell about Unreal or whatever it is. You know, there is no there as far as he says there is none, but maybe you feel like venting about it, and comments on a web page just don't do it for you. So we'd like to be that place.
Yes.
Also, if anything else goes down like SOPA or ACTA or PIPA or HR 1981, this will be the place that you know you will get the straight story. We're gonna tell it to you.
We'll have it first.
Yes, and we are not bound by any paid reviews, subscriptions, any of that. You come here, we're going to tell you what's what. A lot unfiltered. So until we, we're probably going to have to look into
getting a filter for a Jen's mouth. Yes, yes.
Yeah, or at least rating systems, or maybe we'll do like we already do this. We already censor ourselves, so we'll try to save some of the really bad talk till the nighttime. But this is
sometimes you people get me so wound up, I cannot save it.
Well, and with all the lovely mobile devices, and, you know, Blog Talk is growing as well, you all would be able to take us with you. You can have us on your iPhone, your Android, in your cars, those of you who have cars that are all high-tech, you know. So, and again, we're live. You could be walking along. I always say this because I love this. It's a beautiful imagery of me. You're walking along the streets of New York, and you pull out your cell phone and call us because you heard something that we said you wanted to respond to. Not just us again, but a whole network of gamers. We're trying to create. We love the idea of that. We hope you love the idea of that. So,
I love the idea of that. I think it's awesome. I love the idea of having a home, a central base to go to, that it doesn't matter what I'm playing. You know, it's not Xbox, it's not PS3, it's not PC, it's not social gaming, it's not MMOs. It's a central home. Nobody has done this. There is no central hub for all gamers.
Mhm. And the one of the things you say in the little video that we created, which is very toned down from the usual stuff. Well, not really toned down I don't know. It's kind of toned down. Is that we don't really have one central voice. We're kind of all spread out, and all of our websites are kind of vying for the attention of the developers, of anybody. And some websites are doing well, and other ones are floundering. And the big issue here is that we had G4.
Oh, let us.
We had G4. GLaDOS, you still got me? Man, GLaDOS, let me go.
You got GLaDOS bad.
She don't want to let me go.
No, she doesn't.
Why do you hate me? Why does it work?
Why do you work?
She still has you.
She has you hardcore.
Didn't you take over, Scully King? I'm just going right.
So we did recording, and it was of course Corey. It was last year. Which, no, it was me. We all said our piece. What we want out of this, what we want to bring you. And the main thing that we keep coming back to is we want a home for everybody. We want a voice for everybody. We all love games. We're all very, very passionate about the gaming industry, the gaming community, games in general. And it's about time that somebody stood up and gave us a united voice. If anything, the button and the blackouts all showed us was that together we are much stronger than we are separated. And right now, gaming community is pretty segregated into its little niche groups and whatnot. And it's time to give y'all a home and a voice.
Amen.
Yes.
I was testing a med lock and she's giving me benefits. Am I still, she still have me?
She still has you. Are you going to let me born?
Not as far as I know. I might be somewhere.
She's totally downloading porn, mid-porn.
I might be.
All right, so shall we get to some news, or?
What's the news? We're done. See you later.
All right. No, okay. Since GLaDOS is busy molesting the Corey, I think I will go first. You know I love these fights, and I have been all over this. I've been watching this. Oh, it's fun. Mega Upload founder says we will win a court battle. I am pulling this from GamePolitics.com because I love them. All right, so Mega Upload founder Tim.com says that when all the court rules are drawn at Zeller, his company will win a fight against the U.S. government. Speaking to Twitch Freak over the phone because he is not allowed to use the internet, Tim.com said that he was doing fine, that he is out on bail and catching up. Tim.com was released on bail February 22nd. During an interview, he recalled the chaos of January 19th when New Zealand law enforcement invaded his home to arrest him. He says, "You should have been here. It was amazing. It was like a war zone. Armed police everywhere. Two helicopters." The New Zealand authorities certainly put on a show for the FBI. That's not the truth. All right, so while .com is confident that he will win, first he has to fight the U.S. government extradition to face the charges related to .com also says that this confidence in winning the fight against the U.S. charges is shared by his co-defendants, Matthias Ortman and Bram Vanderkalk and Tim Patato. He goes on to say, "We're going for this, and we're confident that we're going to win. It, the heavy-handedness went way too far. It was all out of proportion. We feel that the action taken against us was political." It was. It really was. It was all political. And I hate it. I hate it. Don't get me wrong. I love my country. I love my people. But we need to start looking closer to home and handling our affairs instead of going and throwing money at other people for issues that shouldn't even matter. We've got kids out there who don't have clothes, who don't have shoes, who are starving, who can't afford whatever they need for school, and we're throwing billions of dollars at these other governments because we didn't get paid our money. A big man. Sorry.
Okay, apparently we are experiencing some major technical difficulties.
Is it on me too?
Yeah, Jay says Daft Punk is on the phone. They want to know if they can pull sample for this episode because we are sounding horrible. GLaDOS has us, like, locked down. Hell if I know why. So we may have to hang up and try back again here.
Is it both of us? Oh, no, it's both of us.
Jay.
I love you, Jay.
Okay. Don't say nothing to Jay. I gotta get off. And I'm with it. Let me let Mozilla Firefox start again. See, this is not looking good for us. Then we start a Kickstarter project for a good network. See, we wouldn't have these problems if
Exactly.
Apparently, they're still on. We still have a line. Apparently, they still hear us. Okay, and apparently a couple of other people are listening to another show, not one of our other shows. Did you hear that?
Don't hear anything.
All right. We'll be right back after these messages. No.
Oh, we suck today. These days, we knew they'd happen.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Firefox is going to load for us. I love updates, Firefox. Let's see if it's going to let us get back on. If we've left any time today, can you still hear us? I love how 12C, 12's a gentleman. He assumed that it was him. He says, "We're coming through very choppy, and he'll see what he can do."
Are we going to hang up and call back, or what are we doing?
We may have to hang up and call back.
Maybe the faster.
Because this is taking forever.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Yay, love. Is your connection being a brat?
Mm-hmm.
That's so fun. Bios. Bios.
Hello, lovely people. We're hoping you can hear us. I believe Comcast.
Wow.
I believe Comcast is having an issue here. So we're going to have to soldier through. Am I still sounding bad, Ginger?
Yes. Horribly.
Wow. How's it going, guys?
Ginger's not adorable, too.
This is a triumph. I'm taking a note here. Huge success. This is definitely a Comcast issue.
Yeah, because you restarted.
I switched to a whole different computer. It is still doing this. So I got no idea. How do we sound to you guys out there?
I keep talking.
Who, me?
No, you still sound bad.
Are you able to hear me?
Mostly.
Mostly? Okay. I'm going to close down this some pages here and see if we can't get this problem fixed. See if we can't get this try back on the rails.
All right. All right. I can do it. Dynepolitics.com. Oh, AT&T. Oh, my God. Are you really going to do this? AT&T considers charging app makers. Apparently, GLaDOS something cool. I just can't talk. All right, so AT&T considers charging app maker services a fee for data usage. AT&T has concocted a way to deal with the rise in data use among subscribers, charge app makers, and with eating services a fee. Those who supported the FCC's net neutrality rules but publicly demanded stricter legislation on mobile carriers are saying, I told you so, over this news. In a recent conversation with the Wall Street Journal, AT&T Senior Executive Vice President of Network and Technology, John Donovan, said that app makers might choose to pay for data in hopes of bringing in new customers. It is not freight included. A feature that we're hoping to have out sometime next year is the equivalent of 800 numbers that would say, if you take this app will come without any network usage. This is what Mr. Donovan told the WSG on the sidelines of the Mobile World Congress. Naturally, this has all kinds of implications for service companies such as Spotify, Netflix, Hulu, etc., because not everyone will want to play ball, which in turn might lead AT&T to offer better speeds to those willing to loosen their purse strings. The added cost might also keep companies with innovative apps or services away from devices on AT&T because of extra cost. Every penny counts when you're the new kid on the block. Some consumer advocates argue that AT&T's new fees will stifle competition and shift the playing field in the favor of app developers and content providers that have the financial capacity to pay for data use. Harold Field, Legal Director for Consumer Group Public Knowledge, told WSG, you have to raise all this additional capital to reach the customer, or alternatively, you have to compete with the well-established players who can afford to pay. So in other words, this is good for big companies, not so good for the little man. So not good. I don't like this. I would like to point out that indie games are where it's at. Hello, Halo was originally an indie game, and you're pretty much telling indie developers on your app store, sorry, you don't have the capital. We can't help you. Our bad. Jerks.
Okay, Ms. Jen, apparently we are both sounding extremely choppy. So I'm going to have to restart the entire thing. Like,
oh,
the
fun
router.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're sounding really, really bad. Sorry, guys. We sound like we're doing the show at an oscillating fan. That's what Jay said. Okay, we are going to restart everything. Thank you, Comcast, so much.
And we'll be back.
Bye-bye. Right, we are back after a short respite. We hope you all can hear us. If you can't, let us know. Oh, fun. Ginger, I don't think Ginger's picking up. Ginger? Ginger, are you muted? Well, I'm going to go on in the hopes that you all can hear me anyway. All right, so something...
Oh, my God, there we go.
Were you muted?
No, I was trying to hit answer, and it wouldn't pick up.
Yeah, there's some crazy stuff going on with the internet, so I keep saying so.
I mean, what is going on?
I told y'all crazy stuff. So Jay said, no, we were just starting to come in clear. And 12 said, much better. Okay, tell us if you can hear us now. We're back.
Yay, we're back.
We were doing what we could. Quick. We hope we were quick. Anyway, Comcast,
yeah.
How I hate thee. Okay. So I was about to tell
you suck.
Yes. I was about to tell Eve Online. There's lots of good things going on in Eve Online. Well, so they say. Senior producer John Lander has been speaking with the players about...
Yeah, they're still counting sheep over there, aren't they?
Yes. He's about to tell players about The Crucible and things to come in his latest dev blog over at Eve Online. It's called Backwards and Forwards. So they got some images from Inferno, which is, I guess, the new thing that's coming. Yay. Yeah?
Yay!
I'm not necessarily mad at the game itself. I know some people open their mouths and they shouldn't. Wow. This is a lot to tell you about. Best thing for you guys to do, head over to EveOnline.com and take a look.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Venice Spree is our mom blogger. She says,
yay!
Loud and clear now.
Sweet. How you doing, honey?
Make sure you guys follow and stalk her. She loves it. just like Ginger does.
Hey, I love my stalkers.
Yes, we all love our stalkers. Anyway, lots of things going on over at EVE Online, but it's too much to tell you about in one fell swoop. Wow, and like 15 emails just came in. I wonder if that was what the problem was.
It was something, because that was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. They've got time dilation, which is something to do with you all playing, like millions of you playing at once. Supposed to boost the performance throughout the Crucible. You also have the Crucible 1.2 expansion. You have new look to the rookie ships. You've got voting. So you all know that they have leaders, the Seventh Council of Stellar Management. And
mm-hmm.
So you can, if you feel like being a politician, but in the virtual space, you can go over and do that. You know, that's going to be interesting probably in the next 40 to 50 years. There, you're probably going to have to run for a separate office on the internet. I know that sounds weird now, but if I told you in 1975 you could talk to people halfway around the world instantly without having to call them and go through an operator, you'd say I was crazy
mm-hmm.
too. But I'm telling you, it's going to happen in the next 40, 50 years. You know, Malia Obama, when she's running for president, is going to have to run for president of the internet as well. So, yeah.
Yes. And that is going to be a good thing, because some of you people, if you don't know even how to turn on your own computer, you should not be in office.
I say that all the time. But apparently our president is very tech savvy.
He is.
Thank you, Jay. We sound magnificent, like a pair of gamer goddesses who swear on occasion.
Yeah, I saw that. I started laughing as soon as I saw it. I was like, oh, my God.
We like to sound hot.
Yes, like we something. Do.
I'm sorry. I saw something about fashion, and it said Kmart, and I got all distracted.
Ooh.
Right?
All right. So I guess it's my guest.
No. Right. Didn't sound good. No, Ginger. No, GLaDOS. No.
Is GLaDOS got me?
Just a little bit. Go before she changes her mind.
GLaDOS, I will stab you in the face. You don't even want to start with me today, girl. All right, so court is back in session. Law & Order Legacies, Episode 6, Side Effects, now available for iOS. Episode 1, free for a limited time. Fans of the episodic game series based on NBC Universal's Emmy Award-winning Law & Order TV series can now download Episode 6, Side Effects, via in-app purchase or as part of the Episode 2 through 7 multi-pack. Law & Order Legacies nears its dramatic conclusion in Episode 6, Side Effects, and the going gets tough when a murder investigation at an exclusive prep school uncovers a dark secret being kept by parents and faculty members. This is one of those cases where no one is truly innocent and everyone has something to hide. Awesome. All right, so the newly released 6th episode of on their legacies. I'm going to lose my voice. Fun. Law & Order Legacy Side Effects is available as either an in-app purchase for $2.99 or as part of the Episode 2 through 7 multi-pack bundle. $12.99 for 6 episodes, a 30% saving over individual episode purchase. All right, so if you head over to GameMatrix.com this morning, I have the links for you. This actually does sound quite a bit of fun. If you've played it, let me know.
All right.
All right.
Well, there is some talks that GameStop may have to play Superman to save game in the UK.
Oh.
I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but you've all been hearing us tell you about the troubles with the game over in the UK. They have a lot of debt. They're not selling much of anything. I don't know what High Street is, but this is what I picture when they say High Street. I picture it's a long street and it's just lined with game stores, just games everywhere. Every game ever made, just wonderful. But I guess that's Gamer Heaven. That's probably not High Street. But right now, they're having to beg publishing partners for credit and favors. Sony's recent Vita launch may have taken place at Game's flagship store in London, but if you scratch the surface and the faith is only wafers thin, GI.biz is reporting that stickers attached to hardware in stores which read "Property of Sony Computer Entertainment" show a partner that's protecting its stock as a number one priority. Together with the right contract, it's a measure to ensure that should the retailer get into more financial trouble, the supplier retains ownership of the product until sold, warding off anyone who tries to physically take it away. You guys know how that works. If they get in trouble, they come in, they take their stock out, and they sell it. And Sony's saying, this is ours. If you're going to take their stuff, leave our stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
So with the UK, the developer side is doing excellent. So they really need game business. Game and GameStation are the shop windows for the UK games retail business, regardless of where the consumer eventually spends their money. So without them, a whole world of advertising and marketing opportunities are lost to publishers in the UK and here as well. There's no place for them to advertise over there. So if game collapses, not only do thousands of shop HQ and warehouse staff lose their jobs, but you could also expect a serious round of redundancies at every publisher with an office in the UK and further afield, as marketing and sales staff are left with nothing to market or sell in what used to be the busiest region in Europe. But where does the company go from here? One possibility that's being thrown around is that U.S. retail giant GameStop should step in to acquire the business. We all know probably either that's going to happen or EA is going to try to get them. We all know.
Yeah.
Which is not good. At this point, it's undoubtedly keeping a close eye on the day-to-day runnings, and it may be a question of if, not when, the retailer moves for an acquisition. But when it does make the move before the situation gets worse, will it make the move before the situation gets worse, or will it prefer to sift through a company in disarray, picking up profitable parts at a knockdown price? Ooh, that would be hurt. So the good news is that Games UK, Spanish, and Portuguese businesses are doing just fine. So for the first half of the year, that ended July 2011, the game group recorded $558 million in sales, $310 million of which came from the UK, with a further $108.9 million coming from Spain and Portugal. The Iberian business amounts to 290 stores and is a profitable market for box console games. In the UK, the company has noted that it intends to reduce the number of stores it operates to 550 by the end of 2013, but crucially highlights that due to short leases on property, it can accelerate that closure program if necessary. It's often pointed out that both Game and GameStation brands, it's not unusual to find two or more stores in the same town or city within walking distance on High Street. If the company cuts
really?
Those, yeah. If the company those stores filling up, I assume that they are two separate brands serving different customers. It becomes more attractive to GameStop by trimming the fat. Now, the bad news is last month, Game said it was considering its options with regards to overseas business, and it clearly needs to take radical action in other regions. For the same six-month period, sales in France were $57.3 million, while Scandinavia and Czech Republic bought in at $17.3 million and $4.1 million respectively. These are not attractive businesses to any potential suitor. GameStop already has a physical presence in France and Nordic regions, so it remains to be seen if the game group could sell off these to make the rest of the business stronger. The Australian arm, which amounts to more than 90 shops, generated $26.2 million in sales. There are no short leases in these regions and no short-term solution to dealing with legacy outlets inherited with a wider acquisition, so these will remain a burden in the long term. The firm needs to take drastic action here, closing down or selling off stores in the declining retail environment. Currently, GameStop is in a position to acquire. Are they in position to acquire another business? It's been very vocal that it intends to improve and grow its online businesses in the UK, but despite that, it would clearly benefit from a physical presence there. There's currently or certainly no visibility for GameStop on High Street, but with the acquisition of game stores, it takes out the competition and at the same time places itself in front of millions of consumers who will still want to walk through the doors to browse and buy physical products. The argument against says the overall business is evolving toward digital and online sales, but that's only being led by savvy consumers and a younger generation. There are thousands more, including gift buyers, who are happy to
are
shop
still there?
The old-fashioned way. I'm still here. What happened? You don't hear me?
You cut out for a second.
Ew. Stop it, Comcast.
Yeah, I know.
All right. So more importantly, GameStop is in a position of strength compared to its UK rival. The company cleared all debt at Christmas and paid it to investors. It's bought over $3 billion worth in sales.
Billion?
Yeah, during the holiday. It acquired Spawn Labs last year, which it intends to use its technology to enhance the traditional business. So I guess we just have to wait and see if GameStop's going to do it. I do hope they do. We hate to see people lose their jobs if that's the only choice they have. I wonder if – I don't really know anything about Play and Trade franchises. You know, I know there's quite a few popping up. I don't know if they'd be in a position to take a few stores. I really wish they could, though.
Yeah, I don't like GameStop, so.
But they may have to play the white knight here.
Yeah. All right. Oh, good God. Am I really going to read this one?
Yeah, you are. Do it.
Oh, Justin Bieber versus Justin Bieber. All right. GamePolitics.com this morning. Android app developer C3 decided that it lawyers representing team heartthrob Justin Bieber, who sent the company a cease and desist over its game Justin Bieber. The developer has preemptively filed a lawsuit against Bieber, claiming that its game is a parody and therefore protected under the First Amendment. Critics of Bieber, of which there are too many to list here, argue that this cease and desist against a small app developer is a bit heavy-handed when there are games like Kill Justin Bieber out there that actually let you kill Justin Bieber. All right, so the game features a beaver floating along a river on a log. His goal is to knock fought hogs down as they attempt to take his photograph, and to sign autographs. The beaver also has to dodge the whirlpool of success so that he doesn't lose control of himself on the river. The court filing follows what the developer calls an unsuccessful negotiation with Bieber's lawyer. Now the company is the game does not constitute any kind of infringement of Bieber's intellectual property or trademarks. They say, while we would think the court would rule in favor of RC3 because the game is clearly a parody of Justin Bieber, we'll have to wait and see if they come to some other conclusion. Oh, my God. All right. So, it shows a beaver with hairstyling like Justin Bieber and wearing some ridiculous clothes like Justin Bieber. So, I don't know. All I gotta say is stop letting your little girls drool over Justin Bieber, all right?
Who was that you were drooling over when you were younger? Come on now.
I didn't do that.
You lie.
No, I'm so totally serious. I didn't do that. I wasn't the whole boy band fangirl thing.
I didn't say it was a band. I said you had somebody that you had a crush on. We all do. And your mother was saying the same thing. Ugh.
No. I had some guys that I actually tamed, not.
Well, they could actually attain him. They could attain him if they're in the right place at the right time. You never know. Some of them.
I was never. Because New Kids on the Block and stuff like that was big when I was younger. And that was just never my thing. That was my cousin's thing. Oh, my God, I remember she'd, go nuts over him, and I was kind of like...
I was crazy about them until I met them in person when I was a teenager, and then I lost all interest, literally. They just didn't, they didn't do it for me. Sorry, guys.
No. I didn't have a celebrity crush that I can think of.
Oh, but you do now.
Mm-hmm. My celebrity crush is not real.
He's not... Okay, you just cut out. He's not what?
It's not real.
Just Jason Momoa is not real?
Oh, Jason Momoa.
Uh-huh. I'm going to make sure I pass it along to Snow later on. Uh-huh. Okay.
Snow, I will cut you.
She said she don't want him in my wife.
Eh.
All right. Those of you who play Battlefield, sit up on the edge of your seats. Pay attention. Okay, so there are some patches coming. DICE is going to roll out 300 fixes and tweaks in a major patch, which will most likely break your Xbox. I don't know. I'm just saying out. They're going to cut me for that. some of the changes arguably could have been avoided if EA hadn't been in such a rush to beat Modern Warfare 3 to the market, and some of those are directly from user feedback. And it's admirable to see that DICE is throwing such a heavy post-release support behind the game. Better late than never. The general feedback seems to indicate that players are mostly happy with the changes, but not all. One of the biggest complaints aimed at Battlefield 3 was the inability to exit a server between matches, and that remains unaltered. I do remember that. The list of changes is very, very massive, like the equivalent of 6 pages massive. I will go out to share with you, but you will probably have to go search out the rest for yourself. Mm-hmm. DICE and EA, really? This is not normally done. Usually you have to go to the developer area to see some of these if you want to know what was fixed. Wow. Okay, so you should no longer – well, these are some general gameplay fixes. You should no longer take fall damage from short falls. You can now get up from prone slightly faster, allowing better odds of getting away from a grenade or threat when prone. I remember – oh, that made me angry. I was like, I don't get up this slow in real life. Fix some situations that would unintentionally make a player unrevivable. Yes, I was one of those unrevivable. Reduce the black screen fade in time on spawn. The fade is still necessary for properly streaming and loading content at spawn, but it has been substantially reduced. Let's go down and see what they got. I saw some vehicle thing. Oh, weapons. I know you guys will be happy about this. They added extended mags to the ASVAL. The extended mags can unlock at 200 kills with the ASVAL. They reduced the recoil of the SASF, increased maximum damage at close range, fixed aimed firing max accuracy on the pension egg to be consistent with other LMGs. Let me see what else we got here. Oh, tons of, I'm not going to read all these. Pretty much a fix for every weapon in the game. The scopes are fixed. Fixed the 7X scope, not zooming to full 7X on all weapons. I thought that was just part of the game. I was mad about that, too, because I am the sniper, beep, and I couldn't snipe anybody, you know, like I normally do. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be right up in their face so I can, you know, right when they turn towards their camera, bam. Okay, so anyway, but I couldn't do that. They corrected the M39's laser sight so that it points at the point of impact and aligns with the scopes when zoomed. They fixed a misaligned scope crosshair on the G3A3 using the rifle scope 6X. Oh, wow, what else? They are not kidding. There's some gadgets, team deathmatch fixes, squad deathmatch. Oh, this one is good.
Ooh, squad deathmatch.
Yeah, if the players spawn close to the enemy team at the start of the round, that's not fun. Demo event peak layout and spawn zones have been tightened to reduce the spread of the players across the map. I remember people complaining about that. Terran Highway now features an extra spawn zone north of the footbridge along with tweaked spawn points. And Nullshire Canals spawn zones have been tweaked, removed unsafe spawn points in the northeast corner and in the middle of the container to the southwest. And, again, you can go and find out. When I say this is a long list, you probably want to, you know, if you're not eating lunch while you're listening to us, when you actually do have your lunch break, this is when you go and you read this because it'll take your entire lunch break. It's that long.
Oh, my God. Well,
I didn't even do a fourth of them just now.
Ooh.
Well, no, it's good because they fixed all this stuff, and it needed to be fixed. Some of these things, you know, with us,
that's a lot of things to be fixed. I mean, how broken is your game if you have to release that much stuff to fix it?
Well, I just thought with, you know, what we do here with the reviews and stuff, that it was part of the gameplay, and that was fine. So, we didn't review Battlefield 3 because, you know, we tried to shy away from EA as much as possible.
Yeah.
But,
down with EA.
Don't say that. I want them to give us a Sims. Oh, so anyway. Well, you could say it. Anyway, some of the stuff was horrible, and I just said, you know what? This is what they think is cool for some reason. I don't know. I wonder if they actually play their game when they're make it. Do you stop and play it before you release it and think, you know, from a – yeah. 12th saying
good. I think they do the whole open betas, and if it doesn't get reported, it doesn't get fixed.
And that's gonna
work. You won't report stuff, so –
that is not going to work. But anyway, 12 is saying, goodness, that game was jacked up. Yeah, and again, that was not even a fourth of what was the problem was in that game. Not even a fourth.
Wow. All right. Well, let me finish saving Hitler really quick.
Hitler?
Yeah.
All right. Saving Hitler. Do we want to have
an image. Because with this title, Change History, Kill Hitler. All right. So 505 Games and Rebellion have revealed Sniper Elite V2's exclusive pre-order bonus for the ultimate mission, Assassinate the Fuhrer. Am I saying that wrong? Anyways. Plan to pre-order Sniper Elite version 2 from any UK retailer prior to May 4th. The UK launch date will gain access to this ultimate single-player mission as well as two new weapons, the Soviet semi-automatic battle rifle SVT-40 and the standard German service rifle Kar-98. If you have one chance to change history, intel has been received that Hitler is returning to Berchtesgaden to Berlin via his personal train. I probably said that wrong. Players must intercept the train as it waits at the station and take down the Fuhrer as he hastily makes way to the station on foot. There is only a single opportunity for players to do what so many have been done, stop the leader of the Third Reich. One chance, one bullet, make it count. Sniper Elite V2 is a third-person tactical shooter set in the dying days of World War II. Currently in development by Rebellion for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, and also the PC. All right, so if you head over to GameMatrix.com this morning, I've got more information up for you, so go check it out.
Wow, that sounds interesting, actually.
Yes.
Quite interesting.
I know a lot of people will be playing this.
Okay, well, you guys have heard, hopefully you were able to hear about our Kickstarter project at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Double Fine is saying they're being told that's cute.
That's cute? By who?
Well, let me elaborate. You guys know about Double Fine. They're also over on Kickstarter and kicking backsides and taking names. But they're saying they're being told that their little $2 million is cute. After raising $2 million for the new Double Fine game Kickstarter, developer Tim Schafer has said that he is pitching games to traditional publishers. He says, I don't think any publishers are quaking in their boots. And this is what he told to Rock Paper Shotgun. He said, they're like, aw, $2 million, that's cute. That's the marketing budget for the little game I'm working on. It's not a big amount of money for them.
Wow.
He says it's a big amount of money for us, though. The original target for fundraising for the game was $400,000, which it hit in 8 hours, and the total rose quickly and impressively after publicity for the project spread. It currently stands at $2.2 million, $780,072, and they still have 14 days to go. He's saying that this is just one of our projects. We have four teams here. The other teams are still out there pitching new games to publishers, and their response has always been, oh, that's great. Congratulations on that. Now let's talk about games like we always have. He said, despite there's no denying that the success has been inspired by developers, including NXIL Entertainment, who plans to create a Wasteland sequel, which is being funded by Kickstarter. Yeah. Well, all I can say is Double Fine, make it count. You've got $2 million, make it count.
Yes.
Because God knows if we can get our little pittance and then some, we're going to make it count.
Wow. Stop humping my Corey.
Did she start again? Is there somebody?
You sound like you went into like a tin can.
Oh, am I back yet?
I mean, you're not like breaking up, but man, you sound awful.
Am I back?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I need to know when I'm back. Anyway, so we hope Tim and the guys at Double Fine will make their little cute money count. If you don't want it, if you don't like it, Double Fine, we'll take it. It's not a problem.
Yes, we will. We will take it, and we will love it, and yes. All right, so what have we got? I lost my place. I had it. I swear I did. All right, so Hamnesia, the epic and interactive fantasy world coming soon to iPhone, iPad. The first part of the stunningly detailed epic fantasy saga within the interactive world of Hamnesia coming soon to the App Store. Hamnesia is the third largest continent among the nine that will make up the intense world of Anachron. Anachron? Anyways, it has been rife with conflict and civil war for many centuries, playing as Adhan, a young but fierce barbarian, you must embark on a dangerous and grueling quest to retrieve an ancient book of magic stolen from its guardians. Will you follow the right path to uncover Hamnasia's secrets? You are in control. All right, so the game books will follow the format of a role-playing game adventure where the reader will be able to fight monsters, adversaries, and evil creatures while uncovering truth behind an intricate plot, which will ultimately jeopardize the balance of the world. The path you choose will have a significant effect on how the rest of the story evolves and the problems which you encounter thereafter. Split-second decisions, fight-or-flight actions, and life-threatening choices all await you in this detailed world where evil strives to overthrow good and both sides battle for victory. All right, so I've got this up on GameAndMatrix.com this morning. I'm pretty sure, at least I think I do, so head over there and check it out. Hamnasia. Nom, 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 ham. Man, why are they going to be talking about food?
I'm talking all muted.
Yeah.
I'm actually over on GI.biz talking with a few of the industry professionals because we do that all morning, in case you didn't know. We did tell you, if you heard at the beginning of the show, part of what we do here is we interact. Even when we're on the show, we're on Facebook, we're everywhere, posting, talking with people, and this is why we want the network. Yes, we're pushing it to you hard. We want the network so that we can have everybody over here and be able to talk and get, you know, facts.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Facts. So part of the story that's going on over at GI.biz is EA's Chief Creative Officer, Richard Hillman, is speaking out against the combative nature of some of his contemporaries and argued that negative coverage of any company is bad for the industry as a whole. Now, you all, if you've been listening to us, know the irony of this coming from EA, of all people. He says, "I don't like it when Zynga gets bad press, and I don't like it when THQ gets bad press." He told this to VG247 while discussing THQ's troubles in the casual space. He said, "There are folks at EA who think it's a they-lose-I-win type of thing. I think that's not true. We are not a business that's big enough yet where we can afford for people to make our business look bad." He explained that he'd happily defend companies like Zynga to defend the interests of the industry as a whole. He said, "If somebody writes something about Zynga that's wrong, I'm as likely to say it's wrong as anyone else is because I think misconceptions and misattributions in our business are just as negative." He heard everybody, he helped nobody. In a comprehensive interview, Hillman also discussed the rise of social games, PC gaming, and SOPA. He said, "I'm a fierce, fierce competitor, but I get the big picture." You know, I'm going to track Hillman down today. I'm going to try to anyway and ask him if he truly believes that. What does he think about his VP of marketing telling us that women only play The Sims?
Yes. Oh, my God.
I will never forget that ever, 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 ever until something happens. Amazing.
Yes.
From EA.
Yes.
Wow. So I would really like to hear his stance on that, since he doesn't like bad press, because they've gotten tons of it from us. You make good games, you have bad people working for you, and you fired all the good people, or they left, or you ran them off. Mm-hmm. Don't really know, but you have people there now that really think that he's possibly right. I work for EA, therefore I can say whatever I want to anybody. Interesting. Interesting. But anyway, I'm posting that. I'm sorry, I got all off track. I meant to share some of the comments. Morville O'Driscoll, who's also a blogger and journalist, says, "Realistically, it's a combination of companies being bad, stupid, anti-consumer, peddling PR, and gossipy press corps who don't understand what being a journalist entails." He says, "As for instance, Zynga cloning games is Zynga being a stupid, short-sighted company who just brought trouble on themselves. Nike, however, aren't exactly being a bastion of journalistic principle when it randomly attributes quotes to Satoru Iwata." You know, and someone here says that a lot of the current journalism is a mixture of TMZ meets gossip rack, game facts with message boards. All of this is part of what we're talking about here. There are people now that are coming into the game journalism field that not even take journalism class. You have people that have a natural affinity for journalism. Ginger just happens to be one of the few people I've met that has a natural affinity for journalism. She'll sit and talk to me.
Aww.
And she's like, "Oh, I'm not saying to be nice, it's the truth." She'll say, "You know, this sounds like a good story." And it is. It's something that if I saw it, I was like, I want to hear what that's about. And then there are some people who don't understand journalism as a whole. It's not to make up facts. It's not to quote people from the comments board as part of a story as fact. People are voicing their opinions. So part of what we hope we can do with this network is bring some integrity back to game journalism. You have GameIndustry.biz, and a lot of sites that we quote, or the ones that we quote most often, is because they have real journalists there. We know they're not gossipy people. And we have had a couple of people, I'm not going to name names on Twitter, who are little gossipy hens. And these are guys, and they're supposed to be a journalist. One of them and I had quite a back and forth one day about his ex. And why I'm going to stop following you on Twitter and giving you praise because you have no journalistic ethics, period.
And she just called you out.
I didn't call him out. I didn't say his name. He knows who he is, and I believe he still listens to us from time to time, but some of it's bad. Not everybody should have a site.
Sorry.
Nobody can hear him.
Okay.
You called the cat out.
Really loud.
You called the cat out.
I totally did.
All right, we got just a few more minutes, and then we're going to let you guys go. We might be back for Pixies tonight. I am not for certain. Depends on if it snows well, and we're ready to go.
All right, awesome. Okay, I don't know if I can fit this one in. I'm going to try, though. At least I'm going to skim over it. You know what? No, I'm just going to save this one for Thursday. This one for Thursday. All right. So Google reveals latest Android activation app download numbers. According to Google's mobile blog, 850,000 Android devices are activated on a daily basis worldwide, and over 300 million have been activated to date. Google's SVP of Mobile and Digital Content, Andy Rubin, revealed the numbers. Rubin also noted that more than 450,000 apps are now available on the Android market, or three times the number of apps that were available last year. He also said that over 1 billion apps are downloaded every month. From the blog, it says, "Each and every day, we are humbled by the trajectory of Android and our partners. With a year-on-year growth rate of more than 250%, holy cow, people, 850,000 new Android devices are activated each day, jetting the total number of Android devices around the world past 300 million. These numbers are a testament to the breakneck speed of innovation that defines the Android ecosystem. Last year at Mobile World Congress, MWC, we announced that there were more than 150,000 apps in Android market. That number tripled to more than 450,000 apps today, with over 1 billion apps downloads happening every month." That is nuts, people. Though I do know I download me some apps. I see free stuff, I download it. I like free.
Oh, we all like free apps.
Yeah.
Okay, it is time for us to start to wrap it up, but I do want to tell you something I just found kind of surfing around. There is a company, apparently, that we didn't even know about, Ginger, Intennium. And they are a game developer. They're supposed to develop games for women.
Really?
Yes. I'm rather shocked. For users, they said their target audience is females 30-plus years old. For users, casual games are a great way to live everyday life, blah, 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 blah. Okay, you went to casual games and you lost me. We do love casual games here. Sometimes we want to blow stuff up. So I'm going to say you are not doing a good job marketing. I don't see any games here that I want to specifically play. Okay. Well, anyway, you can check them out. Their name is, Intennium.de if you're a woman and you want to see if they actually do something for you. Or if you're a guy, you want to see if, I don't know. I'm not understanding this company and why they sent this to us. Good luck to you guys. We'll check them out and let you know. All right, it's time for us to go.
Awesome.
This has been the most haphazard show today, but we'll see you guys a little bit later, and hopefully we'll be a little more focused. It's crazy. Today is a crazy day. It's almost like a Monday. We were very
calm. It is crazy today. Oh, my God. I know. It is Tuesday.
Yeah, it's only Tuesday. Be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And you guys remember, we will let you know when our Kickstarter goes live. Should be soon.
Yes.
Next few days.
I can't wait. Join the revolution.
Do it. Yeah, nobody can hear you, Jen.
Oh, my God. Later, boys and girls. Mwah!